Covenant primarily deals with the halachas of Bigdei Kohuna. The way the Bigdei Kohuna were made, or materials were made out of, and if one looks into the halachas of the Bigdei Kohuna, it's much more than just a Kohen Gadol getting dressed up, because that's what he needs to be dressed. The levels of thought and understanding and kapara that went into the different clothes, the Gemara talks about in many places. And I just wanted, you have to understand where we're coming from. Let me give you an example. If you get somebody working in NASA, right? Somebody working in NASA, it's going to be very different the clothes a secretary working in NASA wears, or the engineer and the astronaut. Why is the astronaut going to wear completely different clothing to the director or the secretary? Because the clothes you wear are going to define what kind of job you're going to be doing. And therefore, obviously, the astronaut who requires very, very complicated, extremely sophisticated clothing in order to allow him to survive in outer space is going to be very different clothing to a person who's just trying to give over a nice impression with a blue shirt and a pink tie. It's going to be very, very different. And therefore, ultimately, the fact that we see the intricate details that went into the clay, kodesh, the clothing, the Bigdei Kohuna, that the Kohen wore, it must be there's a very, very fine understanding of what we're supposed to be doing in Avodas Hashem, going into the Mishkan and doing the Avodah. The Gemara brings down that the Kesheinis mechapel Shvichas Domim, the Mechnesaimis mechapel Gilaroyos, the Mitznefes, the Hasid mechapel Gashi Ruach, the Avnei mechapel Hiru Halei, the Choshim mechapel Adinim, Eifim mechapel Avodas Kechovim. Each one had a certain position that it's supposed to have in order to be mechapel on different things. Now, if that's the case, Rabbi said, let's understand this carefully. There's a few questions I want to ask, and I think it's extremely powerful. If you're talking about the most kodesh kelim, in other words, I'm wearing the clothes that's supposed to do the kapara for Klal Yisrael on various different averis, I would expect these begodim to be as least problematic as possible. I would expect these begodim to be as straightforward al pi halacha as possible. And in fact, they are more problematic than the regular clothes we wear on a regular day. A lot of the begodim we wore in the Bigdei Kohuna were actually shatnas. Shatnas, the Gemara says, a person who wears shatnas, his tefillahs are not nishma for 40 days. It is disgusting to Rabbeinu Shalom shatnas. If that's the case, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu despised his shatnas that much, how is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the command for the super clothing, the Kohen Gadol's astronaut clothing, that he's going to be wearing to be mechapen in Kodesh HaKadoshim, in Yom Kippur, and everything else, is mama shatnas, most despicable clothing, something Kodesh Baruch Hu despises? How can that be? Furthermore, there's a halacha where the clothes combine. There's a halacha, for example, you're not allowed to separate the ephod from the choshen. Now, ephod is, the Gemara talks about mechapa for avodah zarah, and the choshen is mechapa for dinim. Why can we not separate the ephod from the choshen? In other words, if each one is a separate kapara, what's wrong with separating one from the other?
Which is the
ephod? The ephod is mechapa for avodah zarah, and the choshen is mechapa for dinim. Why is there issa of lo yomush? We mustn't separate them. Another halacha, which is ma'akuv, is regularly there's a halacha that a person should try the best they can to make zeh keli vanzeu, to hisnoi lefonai b'mitzvahs, to make mitzvahs as beautiful as possible. That's usually a addition to a mitzvah, without going too complicated. It's an additional part of the mitzvah. Yet with Bigdei Kohuna, there's a halacha that halav deraisa. If a kohen deliberately tears his begodim, or he makes them dirty, he's oiv his chayv misvah de shemaim. If misvah de shemaim, leikor is different psukim, you're not allowed to tear your begodim. You're not allowed to get them dirty for no reason. He's chayv misvah de shemaim. In other words, the clothes have to be absolutely perfect. Why is it that dafka with these clothing is that zeh keli vanveyu is a beautiful chelik of the mitzvah? The fact they got to beautify such an integral part of the mitzvah where everything else usually is an additional extra. What's the idea over here? The question is, why is it that normally by mitzvahs you have an idea that tisnola fana by mitzvahs, hidu mitzvah, is an additional chelik to the mitzvah? Here, it seems to be that the chelik of the mitzvah is on the ikrin. Finally, for example, what does the me'il have to do with lashon hara? The me'il is the chavah for lashon hara. What's the idea? What's the idea that these begodim have such ideas about it? What's the idea? So I saw a very, very interesting vote from Zayd and the Maral, and he says like this. Maral says, and it's step number one, it's a four step process over here in Avodas Hashem through the Kohana. Step number one is that the big day Kohana are there to show a person that there's a certain hierarchy in society. In our society, you know, in our society, it's something which is very politically correct. You know, it's a very egalitarian society where everyone's equal. You know, in Yiddishkeit, there's an element where it's a very select society. It's very role orientated. A Kohen has his role, a Levi has his role, even a Levi that has his role, some of them are Meshoyerim, some of them Meshoyerim, some people dealing with the gates, some people dealing with the song, each one has their own role. And to mix them all up together, and to say we're all the same, it's something which is very politically correct in today's society, but is fundamentally wrong within Yiddishkeit. I remember sitting by Pidyon HaBen, by Aaron's Pidyon HaBen, and I saw Rav Zelig Weinberg sitting there, on the Gedolei Olam. And I saw, now however great he is in Torah, he can't be a Kohen. He can't redeem a child of somebody else. He can't do it. And yet somebody who's a Kohen, who's 13 years old, and he could be an Amma Oretz, and he can. Okay, there's an element of Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol Amma Oretz, it takes second place to a Mamzer Talmud Chacham. But fine, but with the levels of Yiddishkeit, a Kohen is allowed to go places where a lady can't, and a lady can go places where Yisrael can't. So there's elements of Yiddishkeit which is very, very role orientated. The first idea, basically, this is such a brilliant thought. The first idea of Big Day Kohana to explain is to show you that the clothes that people wear are supposed to define a role. And therefore, Kohenim wear special clothes. The Kohen Gadol wears a different clothes even to the regular Kohenim. He can go somewhere that other Kohenim can't go. To show us that each person has a particular role in this world. The Yiddishkeit is based on a role-orientated society. And the clothes show it. There's nothing more clear to the eye to see it. Where Kohenim are running around the base of Middosh with white clothes, and the Kohen goes walking around with his beautiful clothes to show that the Klal Yisrael is split into different roles. If a person understands that, explains the morale, that is the biggest break from Lashon Hara. What's Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is the understanding that we're all equal. I'm a Baal Chesed, you should be a Baal Chesed. If I would do that for you, why can't you do that for me? If I can learn 4 hours in a shop in the base of Medrash, why can't you? The fact that you can't, you're posher a Bucklin. You're posher somebody's not interested in Torah. I can speak Lashon Hara about you, not about my Shamcha. You're not part of me. I would lend you my car, so I can lend me your car. The fact that you don't, you're a Rasha. You're Poshim Ayyid. And that is the opening for Lashon Hara. That is why there's so much Lashon Hara, because Poshim is judging. There's a realization that you think that every person is exactly the same. When you realize that each person is role orientated, you have a role of being a Baal Chesed, he has a role of being a Talmud Chacham, he has a role of being a person who davens a long time, knows how to daven, and everyone appreciates that they have a separate chelik, then you won't be so judgmental, you won't be Lashon Hara. So you see that there's an element of Big Day Kohana to show that can break down the problems of Lashon Hara. That's the morale. And the morale continues. And he said nothing more stops Lashon Hara than a me'il. What's a me'il? The me'il is blue. Me'il is blue. Now what's a day of blue? So the me'il is blue. What does blue always do? Like tcheles. Tcheles doima leyam. Yam doima lerakia. Lerakia doima kisei ha'kavod. Oh, you think about the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Yeah? So if you look at the me'il, and what? And the me'il shows you. He says one way on six little knates, and it all shows you that with Lashon Hara, what happens? Lashon Hara all starts from a person's mind. how fast your mind works. Male sees blue. Ah, blue is kishar covered. It warns you the power of association, the power of going from place to place. This person's doing this now. Ah, that means he probably means this. Ah, he shouldn't be doing this. He should be doing that. Ah, he's a Rasha. It shows the association from one thing to the other. And the Me'il shows you how dangerous it is to jump. Just like for the good things you're supposed to be jumping, make sure you don't jump for the bad things. Make sure you don't jump to conclusions when you're judging somebody else and therefore leads on to Lashon Hara. And I want to say deeper, Bob. I want to say that what happens if a person does look at the blue and he says, oh, blue doyme le yam, yam doyme le rakia. Then what? Then what? It's nothing. If a person has penis in his tits and he says, blue, oh, blue doyme le yam, yam doyme le, so what's he going to think about? The seaside. What's it going to help him? What's it going to help him? If you stop, say it doesn't help you. You've got to go until the end. You've got to reach a final conclusion. Whenever you judge a person, fine. Don't judge him. If you want to start judging him, judge him. Judge him to the final conclusion. See a cholah odin lekafschus. See exactly who he is. See where he's coming from. See what kind of home he's coming from. See what kind of temperament he has. See what kind of nature he has. Don't stop halfway, because otherwise you don't reach the rakia. You don't reach the mind. And therefore you see, the step one is the understanding, the clear appreciation that each person has their own role. Each person has their own chelik in Torah. Each person has their own chelik in the world. And therefore, by doing so, you judge people differently, you relate to people differently, and that's number one. Number two, in other words, the first step is every person is different. That is the first lesson of the Big Day Kohana. People are different, and people's avodah is different. Stage number two is even the acts that are similar are completely different. In other words, not only a Kohen has a different avodah to Yisrael, a Kohen goes to the base of Mikdash and offers up the Ketores Emerim and everything else. Even what two Kohenim do could be completely different. Even what two Yisraelim do, the same Maisa Chesed, a Maisa and a Maisa could be completely different. In other words, the first step one is people are different. Step two is even with the acts that you seem to be doing the same act, each act can be judged completely differently. That's the second lesson of Big Tikkun. And how is that taught? Rabbi Victor Nevensal, the Zayin Gesund, Rav of the Old City, says a beautiful word. Bring some Zoya Kodesh. And you all know that the idea of Shatnas is the idea of, it's a chok. It's a chok. We don't really know the answer. Don't really know the reason why it's so. But he brings some Zoya Kodesh, an element that we can understand, to help us understand this chok. And he says Shatnas is from the chet of Cain and Hevel. Cain was, he brought his korban from plants, and Hevel brought his korban from animals. And because he brought animal, which was a more choice korban, and Cain brought the plant, Cain's behemoth, the Cain's offering was not accepted, and Hevel's was, and therefore Cain, through his jealousy, killed Hevel. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if that's the case, the first murder in the world, the first time that a civil society broke down over plant versus animal, I don't want any clothing with plant and animal together. So says the Zohar Kodesh. Wool and linen is plant and animal. Therefore, since this is a remes, the first breakdown of society, of murder, I don't want any plant and animal together. So says the Zohar Kodesh. The Mesillas Yesharim goes one stage further. The Mesillas Yesharim brings down in Perek Yetef, he says the act of the problem of Cain's act was not pshat in Dafka what he brought. It's how he did it. It's how it was delivered. When you give a gift to somebody, you don't just bring a gift out of the box. You know, you're giving somebody a Hanukkah present or a wedding present. You don't just bring a pot and bring it. You know, this is a pot. This is for your wedding. You take the pot and you dress it up and you wrap it up and you write a nice note. The idea, the difference in Cain and Hevel was, Cain appreciated that when you do something, Avodas Hashem, do it nicely, do it beautifully, do it with a passion, do it with elegance. That was Hevel. Cain was, you know what? This is a korban. Take it, finish. The Aveda lacked the covet. He brings the words, "Ein dai b'asheis mitzvah levad." You go to cover, you've got to be mahadr in the mitzvah. So says the Mesillas Yesharim. This was a difference in Kain and Hevel. Kain just did the act without kovod and hiddur, and Hevel did it with kovod and hiddur. That made all the difference. They did the same pe'ula. They did the same pe'ula of bringing up a korban, but the way it was done, the actual act was the same, but the way it was given over made all the difference between acceptance of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's love and not. Says of Neventhal, here we have begodim that the shame of Lutiferes. The begodim of Big Dekuna Kodesh Baruch Hu puts down, take his begodim, but there's a halacha. They're there for the shame of Lutiferes. The chovah of Lutiferes. The Chovel of Tiferes teaches us elegance. Chovel of Tiferes teaches us, Hashem says, by the way, these begodim, I want them to be not like a regular mitzvah where the hiddur mitzvah is on the side. I want this mitzvah to be where the hiddur is part of the mitzvah. And therefore, if you tear them deliberately, or you spoil them or dirty them deliberately, you're over an issa of issa deraisa, you can even chai mitzvah de shemayim for that. So here we have begodim, the first time in history, where you have begodim, if you make them dirty, or you don't treat them and cover them with tefores, they're no good. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, in this case, where you have covered with tefores, I don't mind if I have woolen linen together. I don't mind if I have kain and hevel together. Once you've learned the limit of the difference in Avodah, where you're covered with tefores, where you can have the understanding that where kain went wrong, when hevel got it right, and there's a halacha that protects the golem from being that way, then I don't mind anymore if you have shatnas, because the whole problem of shatnas now falls apart. Explains of Nevensal, Gosset Peshat, that is why in Big Tikkun there's no problem of shatnas, and that's why the element there are covered to forest. So the second stage is like this. The second stage of the Big Tikkun is to teach us. And not only do two people have different avodah, they can get the same people doing the same avodah, you bring your korban, but their acts can be completely different as far as Hashem is concerned. One can be accepted and one can be completely ignored. And that is another element of Big Day Kahuna. Not only are people different, but even the acts you do can be done completely differently if you do it with Kovalu Tiferes, if you do it with the same Hiddur. That's the second step. The third step is identifying the motive behind our actions. In other words, not only is it obligated to do different actions, different people, to do the action better, but to realize the motive behind our actions. That's another limit of Big Day Kahuna. Why are we doing this action differently? Why am I doing it one way and my friend's doing it a different way? Why am I appreciating Kodesh Baruch Hu accepting my korban, Hevel, and by Kain Hashem didn't do it? What's the motive behind it? The Pasuk said often, Nach Pesod Derachenu V'Nach Kira. Nach Pesod Derachenu means you've got to investigate. You've got to look in to our Avodah, and only once you've looked into our Avodah, only once you've investigated why one thing is so, only then can a person do tshuva. It's often brought down in Balamus to say that a Zaino is not a woman who has a lust for sexual relationships. It's a woman who has a tremendous greed, she's tremendously greedy for money. For her to start doing tshuva on lust is completely wrong. She's got to do tshuva on greediness of money. When a person is doing an aveirach, rachman al Islam, one has to know the motive behind it. When a person is doing a mitzvah, one has to know the motive, why he's doing it, and try and instigate more of appreciation for that motive to make it get better. So, in one particular case, in a big dekun, it comes out the most powerful. There's a halacha, they're not allowed to separate the eifoy from the choshen. The Pasuk says, you must not separate it. Now, we explained beforehand that the ephod is for the Loshen, is for the Issa of Avodah Zarah. The Choshen is for the Issa of not judging correctly. Twisting din. Not judging monetary laws correctly. Ask Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what is the connection between connecting two begodim, of connecting the kapara of Avodah Zarah together with a kapara of twisted din? Well, what's the idea there? So Rabbeinu Zichas Tzadik Livracha used to say, Rabbeinu Weinberg used to say, that there's one common theme anywhere you go around the world. If I'd go up to the Pope, and I'd say, Pope Z, tell me, I'm a good Jewish boy. Yeah, where do I go? Heaven or hell? So what do you say to you? Good Jewish boy. Do you believe in the Savior? Absolutely not. Well, I'm sorry, there's hell. Yeah, you say the same to a shaven-headed guru in the Himalayas. Same thing. Yeah? If a Pope will come to Meisharim and he'll say, listen, Yingala, yeah, heaven or hell? You are going to be the Tsar, you go to hell. So what's the idea here? What's the idea? It's not fair. Wherever you live, you're going to be motivated. If I live in Poland, I live in Warsaw, I'm going to be thinking that way. I live in Meisharim, wrong way. And if I live in Russia, you know, do you believe in old times? Do you believe in God? Yes, okay, we haven't got Gehenna, so we make our own Gehenna. We make a gulag. So wherever you go, you're going to be influenced by society. So what chance do you have? The terrace is that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave every person a brain. And you have got to work things out yourself. If Avodah Zarah is Sheker, Avodah Zarah is Sheker. And your brain is enough to work that out. And if you don't work it out, you're going to be punished for that. Everyone agrees to that. Yiddishkeit is just the ultimate intelligence. But this is the idea that everyone's going to work it out. Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, don't think for one moment that Avodah Zarah is a misjudgment. It's an emotional misjudgment. Avodah Zarah is Sheker. It's not emotional misjudgment. It's an intellectual misjudgment. It is Sheker. It is intellectually wrong. And therefore, connect the Choshen with the Ephod. Ephod is Avodah Zarah. Just like a Choshen is a kapara for misjudgments in monetary law and judging wrongly in monetary law, it's the same Sheker and misjudgment when it comes to Avodah Zarah. It is not an emotional connection. You know, oh, I had an emotional connection, that's why I said Avodah Zarah. It's Sheker. Just as bad as a Sheker when a judge judges something incorrectly in Beis Din. And therefore connect the two. Combine the two. Yeah, the famous story of Chaim Brisk. Somebody came to Chaim Brisk and said, you know, Rebbe, I don't keep anything anymore. So the Rebbe said to him, tell me, what did you stop doing first? Did you first have the kashas and then stop wearing tefillin? Or you first stop wearing tefillin and then you had the kashas? He said, if you have kashas first, they're terutzim for kashas. But if it's a teretz, if it's an excuse, there's no terutzim for terutzim. Today we talk about people who chozeh b'sheila. Yeah, people who chozeh b'sheila. It's not chozeh b'sheila. None of these people have intellectual reason why they went off the derech. It's chozer le'taiva, chozer le'bahamius. They don't chozeh b'sheila. They don't have this one big question. They went to all the gedolei olam and they couldn't answer. They haven't gone to anybody. It's chozer b'hamius. And therefore, when a person appreciates that avodah zarah is as sheker as a false judgment, then we understand how to do tshuva. And that's why the Chosh and the Eifud are connected. So is Yaakov Kamenetsky. Reb Moshe Feinstein says something slightly different. He says, when a person cheats in business, when a person twists his judgment when it comes to Chosh and Mishpat, don't think for one second that a person can be a person who swindles somebody else and it can be his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is fine. If you start stealing, that's a poshut, very clearly a person who's not the clearest. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who gives you a parnasa. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you a parnasa. Don't believe for one second, like people say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a parnasa from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. The rest I have to steal. Yeah? That is not Yiddishkeit. And therefore, a twisting judgment, is a way to Zara. Trying to get your own way out, trying to make an extra buck by swindling another person is a way to Zara as much as bowing down to a cross is. No difference. And therefore don't connect, there's an obligation, to connect the Choshen to the Eifut. And therefore the step three is the understanding. Number one is understanding of knowing you're different, each person is different. Number two is appreciation of even in the same act, that act can be different. And number three, the third lesson of Big Tikkun is appreciating that why are you doing that act? What is the motive behind it? What is making you do what you do? What's making you tick? How is it working? Why are you doing what you're doing? And when you understand that, you can grow. Step four is the last lesson of the Big Tikkun is appreciating the effects of our action. appreciating the effects of our action. They say of Ott that the reason why the Me'il had little bells on is to show the Kohen Gadol that every step he made makes noise. Every step a person makes noise. But the Meshach, I think the Chazal say, I'm not sure who says this. The Chazal say, I'm not sure, not Hagif said that as well, by the way. The Chazal say, I'm not sure who says this. They say that there was one stone out of the 12 stones of Binyamin, it's called Yoshveh. 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 Why is it called Yoshveh? What's Yoshveh? Yoshveh is from the word Yesh Peh. Yesh Peh. He had a mouth. He didn't open it. That's one thought. Yesh Peh. But what happened? What happened? Brought down years and years and years and years later, what happened? They're looking for a stone for the Choson. They're missing a stone for the Choson. It fell down, it got lost, whatever. So what did they do? They went to Domna ben Nesina. And Domna ben Nesina went to this guy in Ashkelon, and the famous story that the keys were underneath the head, the pillow of the father, and he refused to sell them the stone because by doing so, he'd have to wake his father up. So Moses said, look how far, what levels Kibbutz of Aim go, that even though he lost all his money, Shushan Ribli, he lost a fortune of money, still, he did not wake his father up. As, you know, and the Gemara talks about the Gewaldige Zach, unbelievable thing he did for Kibbutz of Aim. Says the Gemara, Shonacheres, he had a paraduma born to him, and he took the same amount of money, because a whole lot on that. That's a typical goy, he knows exactly how much money he lost, and wants the money back now, and whatever. That's what Yaakov Naim is an interesting vault, there's a whole vault to that. But anyway, but Lamaisa, the Gemara says, learn from here, Lebeiris, every time a person opens up the Gemara Kedushin, we learn a chizuk in Kibbutz of Aim. Where did the chizuk Kibbutz of Aim come from? From the stone of Binyamin. Why Dafka Binyamin? Say Chazal, because Binyamin was the only one who did not upset his father's Mechiras Yosef. Yosef was included in the Mechiras, his fault he got sold. All the other brothers were included. Binyamin was not included. Binyamin wasn't there b'chol. Binyamin had nothing to do with it.
He was born.
They had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Sorry? Tainer Reuben as well. Yeah. Yeah. His Kavanah was right, but the Maisi could have done more. Yeah, there's a Tovim Dainer's name. But they say, yes, including Thorah Gamalchus. Binyamin wasn't. So every time a person sees that stone, every time a person sees Yoshveh in the Choshen, a person understands, a person appreciates how far the actions can go. How far that Kibbutz of Aim of Binyamin, then, the time of Yaakov Avinu, can generations later be instigate a lesson of Kibbutz of Aim that can take place in a time later on in the Bais Rishon. That is a Koichas of action. Listen to this now. This is the punchline. So there's four steps. Yeah, the four steps. Is there any Chumash Devarim here? Any chance? Okay, good. There must be one here. Okay, don't. Yeah, regular Chumash. If you want to just call Gershon, please.
Gershon!
Okay.
He's got his sneakers on,
I think. What's it got to do with us? Tachlis, what's it got to do with us? There are four levels here, Rabbi Yisai. Four levels of the Kavanah. This is the whole Parsha Tetzaveh. Parsha Tetzaveh is number one, people are different. Number two, actions people do are different. Step three is understanding of workers for the motive. And number four, the long-term problems, the long-term results of good actions. Okay, the four steps. That is Parsha Tetzaveh. Now, Parsha Tetzaveh, almost every single year, falls in Parsha Zohar. What's it like to Parsha Zohar? What's the connection with Parshas Zohar and Purim? So there's a Rashi. Rashi says in Parshas Kiseitzeh, and in Parshas Kiseitzeh, Zechor Asher Osu Lecha Molek V'Derech Etzeischem Mitzrayim. Remember what they did to you, they say in some Asher Korcho V'Derech. Asher Korcho V'Derech. What does Asher Korcho V'Derech mean? It's like Rashi, different Peshatim. Mikre. One thing lost in Mikre. mikre, a happening. That happened. Dover acher, loshen keri v'tumah. Keri v'tumah. Loshen mikre, it's asher kol kov derech, it's keri and tumah. Third pshat, shohoi metamon b'mishkav zochor. They performed homosexuality with Klal Yisrael. And the fourth pshat for Grashi, dover acher loshen kor v'choim, cooling you down. Cooling you down. You know, the cool down, mostly the people jump into a bath, and it was a boiling hot bath, everyone else didn't dare to jump into the bath, they jumped in and cooled out for everyone else. If the avodah of Parsha Tetzaveh, if the avodah of the whole Parsha of Bigdei Kehuna is supposed to bring us up these four steps, then Amalek is our enemy. That Kodesh Baruch Hu's name cannot be whole until Amalek is destroyed, must destroy these four steps. Amalek must destroy the limbo that we have in Parsha Tetzaveh. And that's the connection. How's the connection? Let's understand this. They perform homosexuality. What's that? What's that telling us? There's no difference between different people. Men, women, women, men, men, women, all the same. Step one. Step one is every person is different. Every level is a gender-orientated society. It is a society where men are different, women are different. Even within men, there's Kohenim, there's Avim, Yisraelim, there's Kohenim, Gedolim. Amalek broke down that first piritza. They smashed that first one down. What's the idea? There's no such thing as different gender. There's no such thing as a break between men and women. We're all the same. What's the difference between having relations with a man or a woman, a man, a man, a woman? No difference. They broke down step one. Okay? Number two, there's idea of jumping in, just jumping in, not thinking, just jumping in, yeah, just jumping in to a pool. Second. No. Sorry, I want to also step one. In other words, there's Mishkav Zohar. Mishkav Zohar means there's no difference between men and women. Number two, there's the idea that the act, what's the difference if I have an act between a man and a man, a man and a woman? What's the difference? It's the same act. It's the same form of act. What difference is there? One second. What are you talking about? Mishkav Zohar is different to Mishkav Issor. It's a complete different act. In other words, they didn't appreciate, they tried to break away both acts. Step one and step two. That people are different and the acts are different. That was the level of Amalek. Number two, what's the other one? The other one, Loshem Mikre. What's Mikre? Just happened. No planning at all. No strategy. No strategy. They had no plan whatsoever. What's the idea of step three? Step three was appreciation of looking into an action, seeing what's supposed to be done, making a difference between Nachbasod Rachenu, understanding the motive. They had no motive. Loshon Mikra, it just happened to be there. There's no motive, there's no thinking, there's no planning, there's no strategy. It just happened to be there. Loshon Mikra, it just happened to be there. That was the difference between Bigdei Kehuna and Amalek. There is no Mikra in Klal Yisrael. A person who's thinking realizes there's a strategy, there's a reason behind everything. There's thought behind everything, there's planning. There's Avodah Zarah. When a person cheating in business, it's Avodah Zarah. Why? Because I'm thinking, I'm calculating. There is no calculation, Loshon Mikra. It just happened to be that. Yeah, whoa, let's have a fight. That's also Amalek. And the last one is appreciation of Loshon Kor V'Choim. What's Kor V'Choim? They jumped into a bath. What's the idea behind that? When Klal Yisrael are realizing and appreciating that every act we do good has long-term repercussions, has long-term benefits, Amalek used exactly that lesson for the opposite. And they said, you know what? Let's do an action now that makes long-term damage. Let's do an action with Kor V'Choim. Let's jump in now, we'll get completely scolded, we'll ruin ourselves, as long as for the next generation, later people can destroy them. In other words, Amalek, what we're supposed to be using and appreciating, the ideas behind what good can perform, what good can do to people, how they can actually plan and do good actions that will have long-term results, and Moloch used that in order to make negative results. Jumped into the bath in order to cool it down for everyone else to fight with cholesterol later. They use the long-term results to the negative. There's a letter I heard, this Shabbos, I heard that a Nazi guard, Max Schumann in Germany, he wrote a letter to one of his officers in a different regiment in Germany.
In the 40s.
Yeah, I heard about it on Shabbos. That good as the soul had this letter. Have you heard this letter?
Sherry carried
it around with him. And the letter says, do not let the Talmud lehrers, because we, the Germans, cannot reach America, make sure the Talmud lehrers, the Talmud teachers, the Gemara Rebbes, cannot get to America. Because if they get to America, they'll teach Torah there and we're lost. So make sure they don't get to America, make sure we kill them before they get to America. This was a Nazi. A Nazi appreciated he can save America with Talmud lehrers. But we can save America with all that was going on, the Golden Medina, where people were throwing off Yiddish guy like hotcakes. They're throwing it all off. Why? Because of the Talmud lehrer, with people who learn Torah, people who teach Gemara, Kladishol will continue. That was a Moloch. What Peshat and the fourth Peshat was, they were using the long-term results for the negative. Let's cool down Kladishol. Let's cool down the bath now, that'll make long-term results. And therefore the four steps of Parashat Tzava that shows us the importance of people being different, actions being different, of motive and long-term results, was good for this parasha. The four bits from Shatim and Rashi, what Amalek actually did to us, going out of Mitzrayim, was actually to disrupt those four steps. So everything we learned in Parashat Tzava, let's try and cool them down. Let's try and destroy that. Let's try and obliterate that to wipe out Klal Yisrael. And that is why until this ideology of Amalek is wiped out, until it's gone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the limit that we have for this week's parasha cannot be complete. And that's why we have to wipe it. Timcha Zeicha Amalek. That's why we've got to wipe it out. What idea? The Gemara says, let's finish off. The Gemara says in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lametes, Homon min HaTorah Minayin. Homon min HaTorah Minayin, says the Gemara, Hamin Ha'itz Hazeh. Hamin Ha'itz Hazeh. Yeah, Homon is from Hamin. Same letters. Hamin Ha'itz Hazeh. Referring to, this is the Satan. Hamin Ha'itz Hazeh. Yeah? What is that all about, Bottle? Poshut, Hamin Ha'itz Hazeh. What's the difference between this tree and another tree? All Sophic, and Moloch is Gematria Sophic. It's all the same. There's no planning, there's no strategy, there's no future, there's no difference. Hamin Ha'itz Hazeh is going to make a difference in this tree. This tree, another tree, eat from this tree, eat from that tree. What difference is there? There's no difference in people, there's no difference in action, yeah, there's no difference in motive, there's no different planning. This tree, that tree, eat! Come on! Hamin Ha'itz Hazeh, that was Haman, that's a Moloch. What's Mordechai? Mordechai. Mordechai says that Unkelos is Mordechai. Mordechai is next week's parasha dealing with a finely calculated amount that you need in order to make Shemana Mishcha. Bit of this, a bit of that, how it was made, everything's calculated. Bidiyuk to the finest degree. That's the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Sofek and absolute clarity where a person should be going. Calculated and very, very carefully planned where you're going. That's the difference between Haman and Mordechai, the difference between Amalek and Klal Yisrael, and the connection between Parshas Tzaveh and Parshas Zochar.